Right, let's get your reaction this morning. 0330 80 55 55. Rob in Belfast. Morning, Rob.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm astounded this morning listening to Emma Pengelly in response to what the First Minister said and our attempt to try and justify the words that were used by the First Minister. You know, we are 18 years on. I've been on this show many times before, and we've had discussions around these issues. Twitter and I has a chief executive who is very clearly linked to criminality.
Twitter and I also have many decent people on their board.
I'm going to go into that, okay? I'm not biased. What I am going to say is that there are those within loyalism, those ex-combatants, those who have had a past, who are making positive steps in their community, who are making positive changes, who are working very, very hard in their community, and they aren't involved in criminality. But it seems to be that those groups who have taken the positive steps and are no longer involved in criminality are the ones who have to fight tooth and nail for every single penny that comes through their doors to do and continue the good work in which they do. However, the gangsters and the criminals who seem to inflict nothing but pain and terror upon their communities are the ones who are rewarded. And for our First Minister to stand up and say she's not going to leave anyone with a past behind, we're not talking about people with a past, First Minister. We're talking about people who to this day are still very much actively engaged in criminality. And what
that's a matter for the police. If that's true, as Emma says, that's a matter for the police.
But you know what? Even people are afraid to bring information to the police. And it's only through brave journalism from people like Alison Morris and Stephen Dempster and the exposés in which they're doing these people and bringing it into the spotlight. But you know what? The DUP delegation went to an office the following day after that spotlight programme went out, and they stood there shoulder to shoulder with no one UDA men. And do you know what that was to the people? That was two fingers up to them. And it's sickening.
That is the community centre you're talking about, the Lower Shankill Community Centre.
Yes.
Again, within which there are many law-abiding, decent people. I want to focus this on Dee Stitt this morning, who is very much linked to the UDA. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for Arlene Foster, our First Minister. You stood shoulder to shoulder, Arlene Foster, with an armed robber, a man convicted of that crime. Yes, that is his past. But Arlene Foster, you stood shoulder with a man who is heavy speculation that he is a leading figure in the illegal UDA. Why would our First Minister do that? Can you imagine the Prime Minister, Theresa May, standing beside...
ISIS terrorist? No, you couldn't, right? And if Mr. Stitt believes that he can prove on the balance of probabilities that he is not a member of the UDA, then I'd advise him to take the BBC to court. I can guarantee you that that process will not take
place. Now, that's one side of the argument, Rob. The other side of the argument, of course, is it's a complex situation in Northern Ireland.
And
actually, you could argue it is very, very brave of government to try to bring those people... Let me finish the point and then you can reply. There are those who would feel it is very brave of government to take the step of trying to bring those organisations who are still engaged in criminality into absolute peace, because what is the result if they don't? The violence and the intimidation will continue.
Well, then what we need to do is pump more than £1.7 million into policing, because the only talking shops that we should have is under caution in a police custody suite. You tell that to victims of families. You tell that to people like Raymond McCord, who I haven't heard on your show in a few years. Invite Mr. McCord on to give his opinion on this, because you know Mr. McCord speaks for victims, and he's never killed anyone. He's never been involved in criminality, and you know he's not given the platform that some of these gangsters are given. So, you know, I find it offensive to suggest that it's brave of government. The brave thing for government to do would be to sit down with the PSNI, draw up a robust action plan on how we can put these people behind bars.
If the Sunday World article is accurate and the UDA and the UVF are to stand down on Remembrance Sunday, then you could argue it has been worth it.
Well, it hasn't, because there's been 29 people murdered by the UVF since the ceasefire, since the Good Friday Agreement. And that hasn't brought about a cessation to their killing.
Rob, thank you. Mervyn, next morning, Mervyn.
Good morning, Stephen. I fully accept people trying, politicians and whoever, trying to help loyalist communities, but I believe it's 30 years too late. But no matter, I think this political decision to bring in paramilitaries from loyalism to make major decisions with regard to their communities with taxpayers' money, I regrettably believe that will be a decision that will become to haunt the DUP in years to come.
Why?
Well, invariably, it there's money involved, and you have a situation where there is talk. I spoke to a leading
member. Emma Penkelly made it clear this morning that there's governance over that money and how it is spent and where it goes to, and oversight, and it's to try to create employment for low-skill, low-paid people, Mervyn. Stop people, for example, being even tempted to go into paramilitaries because they've got value to their life and they've got employment. Isn't that what government's supposed to do?
That is correct. That is correct. But then why do a government are doing that? Why do they invite in paramilitary organisations? What is the real hard level reason that paramilitaries are getting brought in to an organisation that is probably going to distribute a large amount of money without
Charter NI is not a paramilitary organisation.
It is a legally constituted,
proper, law-abiding organisation with governance and oversight.
Correct.
Its CEO is a convicted armed robber linked to the UDA.
Well, there you go.
DSTIT I'm talking about.
Okay, so there you go. Just very briefly, I spoke to a leading member of the DUP last night for 10 minutes, and he told me that he is deeply, deeply annoyed about the whole issue, about the paramilitary involvement in the giving out of this money. I don't understand their involvement in the first place. If Charter NI is going to be so good at people, then let them go ahead. But why? Why is someone with that sort of background the chairman or the chief executive of this organisation?
DSTIT, you're referring to. Let's be precise. Daniel and Derry. Morning, Daniel.
Hello.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yes, I would like to know how someone like DSTIT is employable with his background and with his convictions when someone like
£30,000 of your money goes to his salary.
Yes, as I say, someone like myself who, as a married man with two children, have applied for a number of jobs in the last few years within Royal Mail, within the Health Trust, being given these jobs over the phone by letter. Have all the evidence here. You're more than capable of these jobs. Go on the interviews, go on the health tests afterwards, and then when it comes to a security check, my security check never comes back as being someone that's suitable. I have no convictions for any paramilitary activity. I have never been in jail for anything related to paramilitary activity. I am not behind any political party.
If we are going to say, if you are suggesting that people with a paramilitary past can't be part of the future of Northern Ireland, you're going to rule out a significant number of people and you need to take some of them out of government as well.
But you see, I'm not saying that they are not suitable for their jobs. What I'm doing is I'm comparing my own situation to their situation, whereby they find themselves in these big jobs and employable, whereby due to my political beliefs, maybe I am not employable. I have found myself that any door that was ajar and open, maybe a bit, was then slammed in my face for whatever reason, and I have no convictions. I am asking the people that feel the need and that make the decisions that the these bits of the world are employable. Why am I not employable and people like me not employable? Because I'm not the only one whereby I have never been in jail before that finds themselves unemployable.
Maybe you'll get a photo call with the First Minister as well one day, Daniel.
I doubt that, Stephen.
Liam in Draperstown. Morning, Liam.
The point Arlene made there about paramilitaries and that there would have been no Republican paramilitaries in government if unionism had said yes to peaceful change in 69. But the point about the money is, do you think loyalism is entitled to this money when you look at the waste? You look from 2013, 30 million wasted in the Twaddell Avenue protest, 26 million spent in England or somewhere in a top-class hotel, talking about parading and that there. You had, according to the Confederation of British Industry, 15 million has been lost in revenue during that time. And there, more recently, the 26th of September 2016, you had 18,000 spent there on the Portadown bonfire. You know, that's serious money. You're talking there about 71 million at a quick estimate. Stephen.
Liam, thank you. Ken. Morning, Ken.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, hello. Oh, is this about the money being given out?
Yes.
Well, I live in a Protestant estate, and I can assure you it ain't anyone else but UDA and UVF who will be coming around your door threatening you. So it ain't changed much from this perspective. Yes, it may be quieter, but it's the underlying tension you sometimes get through estates.
So are you in any doubt that the UDA is still active?
Well, put it this way. Community leaders work 9 to 5. For £30,000 a year, why not give me a job? You know? And if they're going to do that for them, why not do it for rapists, paedophiles, house burglars and everyone else? But they can't get a job and they can't fly to America. Just a thought.
How does this feel to you, Ken?
This feels like they're paying them off. They're all driving around in brand new cars. It's a complete farce. Absolute farce.
What do you say to the DUP this morning? They're trying to bring people, they're trying to create jobs within the loyalist community, first of all. And secondly, they're trying to influence people, aren't they? That there is a better way, that there's a lawful way. They're trying to get them over the line, Ken.
Yeah, I understand that. But at the same time, they're not standing outside the law courts with £10 notes in their hand telling everyone who's coming out, don't commit crimes. You know what I mean? It's got to be a bit of a two-facedness in it. On one hand, the loyalist people still have to take it, but the people on Hill living in their nice houses, they don't have to live in the same streets. It's as simple as that. Dog barks, loyalist.
So are you essentially saying that it should have been the other way round, that people like Mr. Stitt gain influence after the UDA stop their criminality, not before, not in the middle of it.
Yes. And this has been going on for 20 years now, and everyone can see the effects of it. There's still flags up and around posts. You still have the control. There's nothing's changed in that respect. It's just so the boys in Hill and the girls in Hill can say, oh, it's all fine. But they don't live in these areas. They may work in them, but they don't live in them. 9 to 5, their job's done.
Well, I can tell you a politician's job isn't 9 to 5, to be fair to them, Ken.
No, I understand that. But after the 9 to 5 role of the community leaders, it just changes back to the way it is at 9:10. Makes no difference. Whenever there's troubles or riots coming up, oh, please don't cause any trouble. Why don't the police get more involved? I mean, if I was driving down the road in my car and got done for speeding, no problem. But that's on my record. And if I went for a driving job, I'll knock it up.
There's someone here on Twitter saying to me that you need security clearance for a call centre job.
Yep. Are you telling me that murderers and bombers can then apply for any job they want and they'll get the big step up in government? And it could take over anyone else, doesn't matter.
Ken, thank you.